This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Johnny and Tani Lelesti have moved to the promised land. They used to live in Franschhoek. They used to live in Franschhoek, and for the past 5 years, Andries has been begging them to move to Hermanus to come and join the church here. But they have actually spent 23 years in Ukraine, and they planted many churches there, or were part of raising up pastors in Ukraine. I was at Johnny's birthday, and I didn't even realize how many pastors in South Africa sees Johnny also as their spiritual father. So we are just so honored whenever Andries has a problem or a big decision he has to make, he drives through to Franschhoek and goes and sits with him, Johnny and Tani Lelesti. They're just incredible people. They're really such a blessing, and God has now added them to our church or to our manas, and we're so super excited about that. We're very excited about what God is in store. As I say, they've finally arrived at the promised land, and they're going to help us slay giants in the promised land. Johnny's also preaching this morning.
Yeah, I nearly said to her, keep talking about me, baby. Keep talking about me. It sounded so good. All glory to God. Thank you for the warm welcome. And some of you have helped us with our move into the house. And we really already feel so much at home. Hello, Marita. We know a few of the dear brethren and sisteren, so we don't feel so lonely and strangers. You know, it's as if this is my inauguration message this morning, and what do you say to these people now? I mean, you've got such a wonderful teacher and pastor in Andries, and the leadership. But now, together with Lisa and Andries, we have done a few marriage enrichment seminars. Mostly them, we were just listeners and now and then said a word. But you know, weekly, virtually my wife and I have to counsel people where things have gone wrong in family. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about marriage and family, and I'm going to use a scripture in Nehemiah 2 verse 18. So they said, let us arise and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. And in Malachi 4 verse 5 to 6, it says, look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, here we read the story of a man who was called to rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem. Walls that had been torn down and burnt by the enemies. The task was an enormous one, almost an impossible task. There were many who opposed the work, many who ridiculed Nehemiah, but then there were those who rallied to rebuild. And as you know, the people were placed along the wall in families, each to rebuild their own section, so that the city might once more be safe and protected. The families faced the constant threat of enemy attack. In fact, when the wall was halfway up, they began holding a weapon in the one hand while building with the other hand. Not only were they totally devoted to the work of rebuilding, but they were also fully committed to fighting off the enemy should it become necessary. Healthy families are the small building blocks in building a healthy, strong church and a nation. Today, the wall of protection afforded by strong families in each of our towns and cities has been destroyed by enemy attack. The disintegration of marriages and family through past generations has left us vulnerable. You know, the other day I read in the Bergen newspaper of May 2, 2018, it says 40% of all South African marriages only lasts for 10 years. It seems as if the word divorce has become the future tense for marriage. Now each family must fight its own battles without the corporate protection afforded by a strong wall. But now the time has come to rebuild that wall. Just as the day of Nehemiah, God is appointing and anointing families to rally and to restore the safety and security of the homes of our land. Strong families provide corporate protection for our churches and cities. But unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, the leaders of our homes as men have abdicated our position because we are so busy trying to make financial ends meet. And our homes and our churches have been weakened because men are sitting back and the women are the ones trying to build or rebuild the walls of protection. And the church has lost its voice in the public and in government. The church should be delivering the annual State of the Dress Nation and not the president. We should be the voice that gives hope and direction, but we have become a very feeble voice. Brothers, it is time for us to wake up. When we use God's plan, His word, as our blueprint, and His tools, which are scriptural principles, we build a strong, healthy hedge of protection around our marriages and our homes. Our children have a safe place in which to dwell. But the Word of God also provides boundaries, though. And many today want the protection, but shun the boundaries. It is truly a time where each one is doing what seems right in his own eyes. When we do our own thing, though, through either ignorance or self-will, and we refuse the boundaries of God's word, and consequently, we lose its protection also. But whatever the situation of your marriage and home today, you can be blessed and grow in the Lord through an understanding and application of His blueprint for your marriage and home. Nehemiah 4, verse 14. Nehemiah encourages the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your spiritual family, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. Perhaps not since then has that call of battle been more needed than today. The sound of the trumpet can be heard in the land, Nehemiah verse 20, and the Lord is saying to us, rebuild. The other day when we attended, presented a marriage seminar again in Stellenbosch, there was a couple who came to see us. And the woman, she's 37 years, she says, I am desperate to have a child. But my husband and my own mother discourages us. She says, not in the times that we are living in. You cannot raise a child. My brother says, I am not afraid to raise kids and grandchildren in this time that we are living in. For we have the promise that no weapon that is formed against the home that is built upon the rock shall prosper. Fight for your family. Fight for your marriage. Don't give up on it. Fight for your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter. Because Satan is on the rampage. He wants to destroy the church, but he cannot destroy the church without first destroying the home. Plead the blood of Christ over your children. You think it's old hat? I'm telling you, it works. Your children may drink from the rivers of rebellion. They may go on the wrong path. But if you intercede for them, there is no hell hole that can hold them. There's nothing so important as what you are doing for your kids now. It is more important than a rugby or soccer match. We just don't believe this old stuff anymore. But beware of the dangerous distraction that take your children elsewhere instead of being in the house of God. We are not going to let hell raise our children, or Hollywood raise our children, or games raise our children. We need to raise our children. If you will fight for your family, God will fight for you. There are so many resources that we have at our disposal. There's marriage prep, there's marriage enrichment seminars, parenting courses, and most important, the Word of God. There are so many things that threaten to break down the walls of protection around our families. It is amazing how our families are being bombarded by attacks from the outside. As an example, just take our beloved TV. How our kids are exposed to violence, sex, foul language, blasphemy. Especially if you watch programs, especially the young people, how the word, oh my God, every second word is OMG. That is what the TV evangelists eventually call it. They call it the OMG syndrome. And now our kids think that's very cool, but it's blasphemy. Then there is divorce, abortion, corruption, wrong friendships, drugs, alcohol abuse, smoking, New Age, evolution. The list just goes on and on. I truly believe that most families do try and guard against all these attacks. And they try and build a strong wall of protection around their families. But what happens within these walls is often regarded as normal. It's quite natural. Dit gebeur mos in die beste van families. It is not normal, but abnormal according to God's standards. I'm going to discuss a few issues most of us experience in our marriages and families within these walls of protection. First, what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with you the three practical steps in love. How do we love one another in marriage? As husbands, love your wives. Colossians 3, verse 18 and 19. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly, and do not be bitter towards them. Remember, men, we are commanded to love our wives. If she says to you, I love you, regard that as a bonus. Now, you will notice through the rest of our message that I mainly address the men. And I'll tell you why, because I tried to find out how a woman's mind works. So I consulted the internet, Google, but all I did was when they showed me this picture, and this is only the first volume, there are 9 more of those volumes. So the first point I want to make is caring. When we get married, we owe each other a debt of love. The Bible says, owe no one anything except to love one another. So the only debt we owe each other is the debt of love. But that debt cannot be paid in monthly or yearly installments like on Valentine's Day. But every day, small little things that tells your wife that you love her. I remember one time in the Ukraine, we used to go and visit all these young pastors that now have just started churches. And there's this particular guy, his name is Misha. And Misha was a very energetic little pastor. When the sun comes up, he's got his attaché case and he's off to go and work for the Lord. While his family, his kids range like organ pipes, you know. And his wife, I've never seen her dressed otherwise, but with a grey gown, bunny slippers, green plastic curlers in her hair, with no makeup, because she's got no time for anything else. It's from the baby to the biggest one. It's feeding, it's clothing, it's getting ready to school, and she never sees the daylight, the sun. So, and then tonight at 5 o'clock, Mr. comes back. Now he's worked for the Lord. I said, Misha, your marriage is in great danger. I said, Delisi and I have just walked around. We found a new kiosk that's open there. They sell roses and chocolates and ice cream and whatnot. So I took out a $20 US note, which was a lot of money at that time. I said, tonight, after we've left, then you are going to let your wife dress up nicely, put the kids to bed, and you take her there. And you buy a chocolate or a rose, and you thank her for being such a wonderful mother, such a wonderful wife. He says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. She will laugh at me. I said, do it. So we left. 4 months later, we came back again. And as I put my foot off the train, here he stands. He says, there's your $20. I can't do it. So I said, all right. I said, now, you're going to buy a rose and a box of chocolates, and I'm going to follow you. Now, I'm going to hide behind that tree, and you're going to press that front door bell. He was exasperated, but in any case, he bought the chocolate. You know, now he's walking to the door, and presses the bell. Yeah, she opens the door, green curlers, gray gown, bunny slippers, and he just gives her the rose and gives her the chocolates. She doubled up. She started laughing. She says, Misha, have you started drinking again? And he turned to me, he says, you see, I told you that would be the result. I said, my brother, you are going to do it every day until she believes it comes from your heart. Otherwise, it's kaput with your marriage. In any case, to love is not only feeling, it is showing it. I've learned that when you're in love, it shows. Romans 5 verse 8. But God showed, demonstrated his great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. My brothers and sisters, I am not embarrassed or ashamed to demonstrate my love for my wife in public. My children must see how I love their mom. My grandchildren must see how I love their Oma. The kind of love God is interested in is demonstrated love. And just one tip. If you feel your love for your spouse growing cold, go and do those first things that made you excited about your relationship. You know what you did when you were courting. Go and do those things, and you'll see how the love for your wife ignites again. Professor Dobson said, the best thing a father can do for his children is to show them he loves their mother. No matter what the circumstances, whether it be financial, sickness, persecution, the world falling apart around us, when there is love in the family, mom and dad who love each other, it brings security to the family. Therefore, the first step in practical love for your partner is caring. Everyday, small things showing affection. Second one is sharing. Not just sharing what we have, but as in communication. Of course, when I first got married, I thought that multiplication is the name of the game, but it's not. It is communication. That's the name of the game. And here again, of course, we men fail dismally. Nou dat so reën, kon ek nie my tuin werk nie. Gaan toe maar binne in die sitkamer om na TV-program te kyk. Toe ek daar kom, sien ek maar die weerlig het my TV uitgeslaan. Besluit ek gaan met my vrou gesels. Wat 'n aangename mens. Ja. Now, when it is rough going in a marriage, It is also the time when there is a breakdown in communication. No open and clear communication. Ons gee mekaar mos die koue skouer en ons kry skielik stil stype wat vir 'n dag kan duur. Relationships struggle when there is no talking or sharing. And it is a skill that you have to learn to effectively communicate with one another. James 1 verse 19 says, "So, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, to get angry." Verbal stimulation is built on communication. And the word, that means talking, listening, and understanding. And the word communication comes from the Latin word communicare. This word is also the origin of the English word for common. And it is applicable in this context because we need to become common to each other. We do this by sharing everything about ourselves with one another. We allow our marriage partner to see who we really are by holding nothing back. Be open to share everything. No secrets between husband and wife. No matter whatever you have done, the one who loves you will never leave you, because even if there are 100 reasons to give up, he will always find one reason to hold on. My brothers and sisters, men and women differ radically when it comes to communication. Women often perceive men's lack of conversation as a bad attitude. And this perception has reflected badly on many relationships. Now, when we men start courting a girl, we talk and we ask questions and we listen and we explain our dreams and hopes and plans for the future. Once married, most men, with their linear thinking brain, shift their attention from gaining the one they love to providing for the one that they love. And because he's a practical thinker and wants to be a good husband, his priority is the physical needs of the marriage and the family. And for this reason, as misguided as it may be, his career and income becomes the focus of his life. He starts paying less and less attention to his wife, and she starts needing it more and more. She remembers the man who courted her, and she is wondering where he went. Unless explained to them, men are unaware of the emotional needs in their wives. Brothers, it is natural and instinctive for a female to talk. Now, after all, we taught them to talk. Now, I looked up Google again, and I found this one. This photograph must be about 2 million years old. It says, "I've decided to teach my wife to talk. What harm can it do?" Now, ladies, just remember, talking is your gift from God, but nagging is a bad habit. I've got a lovely T-shirt that I like to wear at home. It says, "If a man says he will do it, he will fix it, he will fix it. It's not necessary for you to remind him every 6 months." And as one guy said, he says, "I haven't spoken to my wife in 18 months. I don't like to interrupt her." Now, women are born that way. The verbal part of a woman's brain develops first, whereas the male brain, in the visual side, is the first to develop. And opening our hearts and minds in conversation leads to the development of spiritual nakedness between two people that have become one. All believers are part of the bride of Christ. God says that we are married to Him. And one of the expectations that God places on us is that we should get to know Him intimately. That should be the relationship goal of every Christian. And this is also done through prayer. The purpose of prayer is to reveal ourselves to God without any reservation or constraint. The promise is that when we really reveal ourselves to God in prayer, He would really reveal Himself to us. Prayer is just conversation with God. I just want to mention one communication killer. Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame to him. Now, here is an accurate statement. Men don't listen. Many wives will agree with me when I say that their husbands will read the newspaper, watch TV, nod their heads, and grunt now and then, pick up a word here and there, but will have no idea what his wife has said. When we don't listen carefully to someone when they speak to us, now my wife always says, "Kijk me niet oor, kijk me niet oor." So I have overcome that problem now. When they speak to us, it gives them the impression that whatever is keeping our attention is more important than what they are. Husbands, my brothers, when we communicate, we must be factual, but also with feeling. We are inclined to communicate in headlines, in other words, facts only, without any feeling. But the feeling is only revealed in the fine print, and that is what your wife wants to hear when you share detail. The wife asks, "How was the church service this morning?" "Okay. Who was the preacher?" "Oh, some old bald-headed guy." "What did he preach about?" "About Jesus." But ladies, there is one thing that you should never, ever do. Never try and start a conversation with your husband when his team is losing, rugby or cricket. Let's play the next one. It's a video clip. You ain't got that. Sorry. Because if his team wins well, he will talk to you for hours and you can ask him anything. That's the one.
Five matches sometimes. That's 25 plus days of cricket. Could go for a month, right? And even then, could be a draw, which is great. You could have rain delays, right? You could have runouts, could have injuries.
Forget.
Who's winning?
India.
So, if his team loses, be tender and understanding and help him overcome his disappointment by, for example, blaming it on the ref. Now, ladies, help us to share the facts and the feelings. We do not know how to verbalize our feelings. That is why you are called our helpmeet. And ladies, you must believe this. As men, our brains, left and right, some no brain, are divided into different sections or boxes. And men have this section called the nothing box. We think in straight lines, linear, whereas women are wired like spaghetti. You can think of a million things at the same time, but we only one thing. And then he will sit there staring into the unknown. Just sit there staring. "What are you thinking about, my darling?" Penny, for your thoughts. Nothing. I wasn't thinking of anything. It's impossible. I tell you, it is possible. Another aspect of communication or sharing is handling conflict. In every argument, remember that there won't be a winner or a loser. You are partners in everything. So you either win together or lose together. Work together to find a solution. Instead of saying, you must do this, I must do, rather say, how can we solve the problem? When you choose between saying nothing or saying something mean or nasty to your spouse, say nothing every time. Choose to love each other in these moments when you struggle to like each other. Love is a commitment, not only a feeling. But my brothers, be careful. Here is a very, very valuable piece of advice. They say never approach a bull from the front or a donkey from the back. But never approach an angry wife from any direction. I say, if a woman listens to you in less than 5 minutes, then she is your mom. If a woman listens to you in 15 minutes, she's your sister. If a woman listens to you in 30 minutes, she's your daughter. And ultimately, if a woman pretends to listen to you all the time, but does not remember a word of what you said, no matter how important, then she is? No, that's right. Yeah, you're right. She's deaf. Why bring wife into everything? So the third one is caring, sharing, and then Colossians 3 verse 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And one of the big secrets of any lasting marriage is forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 14, it says, love never fails. The kind of love that never fails is the love that bears all things, that verdra alles, all the weaknesses of your spouse, all the inadequacies. Godly love bears them all. Forgiveness should be at the very heart of the Christian walk. We have no problem with this concept. It's easy to talk about, but it's harder to do or apply. We harbor justified unforgiveness. I want to get even for past hurts caused. Gerechtigde onvergiffenis. We look for signs of true repentance before we forgive. We often remind the other person of the need to repent again and again before we forgive. Remember, you don't always have to be wrong to say to your spouse or children, I'm sorry. My relationship with them is much more important than always being right. Remember Matthew 18:34, it's not there, don't worry. If we do not forgive, we are delivered to the tormentors or torturers. And Mark 11:25 says, unforgiveness blocks the promises of God. If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. Someone said, forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Isn't that beautiful? 2 Peter 3 verse 18 talks about growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every day you live, you'll be presented with opportunities to grow in grace. And you must always be open and receptive to them. Now, a certain grandmother celebrating her 50th birthday, wedding anniversary, shared the secret of her long and happy relationship. She said, "On my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 10 of my husband's faults, which for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook. I never did get around to listing any. Every time he did something I didn't like, I'd say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. Now, a good woman, a good wife, always forgives her husband if she is wrong." Yeah. So, when someone upsets you, or at least physical intimacy brings us together, but growing in grace will keep us together. So when someone upsets you, instead of responding with angry words or angry silence, remind yourself that God is giving you another opportunity to grow in grace. And if you don't do well with some of the opportunities he sends, don't worry, he will keep sending more until you get it right. Resentment is one of the most expensive luxuries you can indulge in. A deep-seated grudge eats away at your peace of mind like a deadly cancer destroying a vital organ. In fact, there are few things as sad as a person who has harbored a grudge for years. And one of the secrets to a long and fruitful life and happy marriage is to forgive everybody, everything, every night before you go to bed. So get serious about this. Now, ladies, I can't just let you off the hook totally. Remember your God-given duty. You must honor and respect your husband and submit to him in everything as unto the Lord. Now, there's a saying that the way to a man's heart runs through his stomach. That is not so. It runs through his ego. When you honor and respect him and praise him, and my sister, you treat him like a king, he will have no choice but to respond to you and treat you as a queen. His love for you motivates your respect, and your respect motivates his love for you. I don't know of any woman who will not respond to her husband's tender love and care. If my wife understands my love language and I understand her respect language, then we can communicate. But when the husband gets home from work and she stands there in the front door with her hand on the hip and the other one wagging and her face turning red and rolling her eyes, the words just simply roll off her lips. Instead, when her hubby comes home from work, you must look as if you've just stepped out of the Vogue magazine. And you do a little jig for joy because your hero has come home. And you won't know what that does to a man. Because in some homes, the only one that is glad when the husband comes home is the dog. The other thing that happens within the walls that destroys a family is anger. From Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Guys, 99% of the cases of anger outbursts, we men are the guilty party. What makes you angry? And what triggers angry outbursts in your life? Occasionally we become angry for a righteous cause, but 99% of the time we become angry because we are selfish, we are impatient, because we could not have it our way. And then it's easy to say, submit, woman. A student said, I lose my temper, but it is over in a minute. So is the nuclear bomb, the professor replied. But think of the damage it produces. Anger lives behind closed doors. I seldom lose my temper at the office or public places, but explode towards my family. You always hurt the one that you shouldn't hurt at all. Your family lives with the real you. Anger destroys the quality of our personal lives, our marriages, our health. Cutting words that hurt are like arrows from a bow. You cannot retrieve them. The damage cannot be undone. Frequent outbursts of anger destroys a home. Benjamin Franklin said, anger is never without a reason, but seldom a good one. James 1:20, a man's anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. All right, now let's just see about the rest of the family. Now, what about our children, our teenagers, our young adults? You are also part of the family, and you have to help build the wall of protection as well. Parents, do not be so over-concerned that your children are disobedient. Rather be concerned by the fact that they watch their parents with hawk eyes. They watch their behavior. Even from a very young age, they are so sharp. Someone quizzed some kids, 7 to 11 years old, on marriage. First question was, how do you decide who to marry? Kirsten, age 10. No person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all the way before, and you get to find out later who you stuck with. That was spoken like a true Calvinist. Another question. How can a stranger tell if two people are married? Agnes, 8 years. You might have to guess, but I would say if they seem to be yelling at the same kids. And what do most people do on a date? Martine, age 10. On the first date, they just tell each other lies. And that usually gets him interested enough to go for a second date. How would you make a marriage work? Bruce, 10 years. Tell your wife she looks very pretty, even if she looks like a truck. Now, that was wisdom. That what do you experience when mom and dad has an argument? Jessica, 8 years. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. How blessed are a couple if they have godly offspring. However, when a child loses his or her way, we as parents can so easily experience a guilt trip. Remember, there are limits to parenthood. And as we ponder the roles of parents in the lives of their children, our hearts filled with appreciation for all parents. But what is our response when it comes to the crunch? Teenagers, young adults, may I remind you again, you are also responsible for building the family walls. I quickly want to share, coming to the end now, a few thoughts, especially just with you, as inspiration to follow the guidance of godly parents up to the point where you can independently choose life in every situation you face. Regard these as your boundaries. Number one, we as parents can give you life, but we cannot live it for you. We can teach you things, but we cannot make you learn. We can allow you freedom, but we cannot account for it. We can give you all our love, but we cannot force it upon you. We can advise you about friends, but we cannot choose them for you. We can advise you about sex, but we cannot keep you pure. And nowadays, people want to find out if they are sexually compatible before they marry. If you were meant for one another, you will be compatible. If you try and find out whether you are compatible before marriage, you are wasting your time, breaking your heart, and doing a lot of damage to your future marriage by dating or sleeping around. Every time you do that, you give a part of yourself to that person. You all know this is sellotape. This is sellotape. Oh my goodness, how do I get? Yes, sy sal tande hier so breek op hier een aan my broer. Sê maar, ons kom reg. My brother usually broken it for me before we started here. Okay. Now, Lisa. Just hold this piece. Now, as you know, sellotape, it's got this stickiness about it. Now, this is now fresh glue. If we put these two together, it'll be virtually impossible to separate them again. All right. But if I now take this piece of sellotape, and I attach it on here. I pull it off. And then I attach it here. Pull it off. And I attach it here. Eventually, I can just blow it off. Don't give me this. We are exactly the same. We all have a stickiness to us, which is love, that glue that allows us to stick. But if we stick ourselves to one person, we pull ourselves loose, we're going to stick to the next one, pull ourselves loose, and then to the next one, and eventually we find that there's no glue left. The slightest breeze, problem, or conflict can blow you apart. Young people, be friends. And in friendship relationship, get to know the person, and then God will speak to you and say, this is your partner. And young ladies, you tell a young man, if you are serious about me, go and speak to my dad and ask him his permission. Ask him if you can or you may date me. And listen, my dear young sisters, any young Christian woman must be so hidden in Christ that the young man who pursues you with intent will first meet the Christ in you before he wins your heart. Dads, there are a lot of scoundrels, evil scoundrels out there waiting for your daughter. They know nothing about friendship or love. They only know lust. And fathers, wake up and protect your daughters. And girls, if you don't submit to your fathers, they cannot protect you. Let me just continue. We can tell you about the facts of life, but we cannot build your reputation. We can warn you about drink, but we cannot say no for you. We can warn you about drugs, but we cannot prevent you from using them. We can warn you about sin, but we cannot make you moral. We can pray for you, but we cannot make you walk with God. We can tell you about Jesus, but we cannot make Jesus your Lord. Now, these are most of the choices you are confronted with in life. Choose life with a capital L every time. These are the boundaries most of us, the older folks, have tested when we were your age. Listen to your parents for your own safety. We don't mean to spoil your fun, but we love you and want to protect you. And now in closing, the male species have borne the brunt of this message. And just to boost their morale, why are men so important? You can't spell madam without Adam in it. Neither can you spell woman without man in it. You cannot spell female without male in it. Nor spell female without male in it. You most definitely cannot spell Mrs. without Mr. And finally, in prayer, we continue to say amen and not a woman. And this is dedicated to all wonderful men. Just show me the next clip. Isn't there another clip there? Nothing. All right. Now, of course, it's customary to do an altar call here in Shofar. Now, the obvious one would be all whose marriages are a mess, please come forward. But now, that would be so embarrassing, wouldn't it? So I've decided to really make it a practical experience. Now, I want you to turn to your wife, brothers. Wife, you turn to, just make sure that you sit next to your own wife, all right? Right, turn to one another now, okay? Sister, turn to your wife, turn to your husband. Yeah, that's right, yeah. And unfold your arms and hold each other's hands. And look into each other's eyes now, eh? Now, because we only speak in headlines, men, you'll only need 1 minute to tell her exactly how much you love her. Call her name and you tell her, I don't want silence, please. I want to hear you. Tell your wife how much you love her. I've got 1 minute. I'm going to time you. Thank her for what she's done for you and what she means to you every day. All right, you still got 15, 20 minutes, 20 seconds. Oh, I know that's a lot of time. Have you done it, brother? Was it your daughter? No, I haven't seen you respond at all. Kijk om aan die oor. En vertel vir hom. Okay. All right, you've done that. Now, I want you to repeat after me a section out of the Song of Songs. Keep looking at her. And you are going to repeat it aloud. I want to hear you. All right. Song of Songs. You have captured my heart. Okay, I'll repeat it. You have captured my heart. My treasure, my bride. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes. With a single jewel of your necklace. Your love delights me. My treasure, my bride. Your love is better than wine. Your perfume more fragrant than spices. Your lips are as sweet as nectar. My bride, honey and milk are under your tongue. Okay, ladies, now it's your turn. But I'm going to make it short for you, all right? Just very short. Call him by his name. My darling, I will honor and respect you, and as a bonus, I will love you. And I promise, as of today, that I will submit to you in all things as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you that you care so much about the family, because that is a small building block of your kingdom. If we have strong, healthy families, Lord, we can face a future, a healthy church that can reach this city and its surroundings for your kingdom. Lord, may your name be glorified and exalted in every one of these families represented here. Lord, we've laughed, but yet your word is so serious and so straightforward and so simple. Help us to obey your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.